killer, honey. We had a good relationship going, but it's for the birds now, cause here come the colonel. Woo!
Yes, yes, just like always, some comedian sneaks in here and tries to disrupt a serious science program. Okay, welcome back to the second half of The Promise of Tomorrow here on the Science News Radio Network, exploring the business of emerging science. In just a minute, we're going to get back to our interview with Ina Mishra, who's speaking at the Metricon Conference in Hearst, November 7th, and we'll have more on that later, and you can check out our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz, to learn more about that. In the meantime, rummage around in the coin jar just a minute here, because we're going to want to go over to our fountain of useless information for today's query. What do you have, old fountain of information?
Well, to the fountain of useless information, how can I help?
Oh, yes, I see. We have thrown in the coins, and so have awakened the spirit of the fountain. All right, oh spirit of the fountain, here is today's query. Put on your thinking cap or your shower cap or whatever you use. What nation thought it could keep illegals out by putting up an electrified fence along its border with Zimbabwe? What nation? Try to keep illegals out by putting up an electrified fence along its border with Zimbabwe, O Spirit of the Fountain.
I have given you my answer. Now you may tell the other.
Oh, the spirit of the fountain knows all the answers, yes. The nation that thought it could keep illegals out by putting up an electrified fence along its border with Zimbabwe? If you said South Africa, aha, you are correct. That is the one. Now back to our program. Yes, yes, yes. The sweet strains of the Science News Radio Network studio band. Yes, yes, yes. All right. Well, if you were listening in the first half hour, you heard that we were talking to Ina Mishra. She's a postdoctoral research associate with the College of Pharmacy, University of North Texas Health Science Center in Fort Worth. And we were talking about type 2 diabetes and early detection. So we want to pick up where we left off. And about early detection.
So when they have the compensatory hyperinsulinemia, the insulin levels increase, which keep the glucose levels normal, but along with it, what happens is a subclinical dysproteinemia. So there are specific proteins in the blood that increase, and the shift in levels of those specific proteins during this stage. So because by the time prediabetes occur, we can easily detect it by the current methods of glucose and A1C. But before that is where the problem lies. So we are aiming that if people use this test in future, of course this needs validation in larger cohorts for which the studies are underway. But the whole idea is that long term, when people use this for metabolic health screening, like a routine assessment, like we have the routine blood work, so this would help us analyze the metabolic health, and people would know that they are going down the line of metabolic dysfunction before they actually become pre-diabetic.
Okay, so that gives you a very early warning, even before pre-diabetes. It is kind of like pre-diabetes, and you say that it circumvents the pitfalls associated with fasting glucose and hemoglobin, but what are those pitfalls?
So the pitfalls are, like, first of all, this in the early stage, it's not just about one thing, which is glucose. It's a constellation where there are subclinical shifts for proteins and lipids, and the glucose levels remain normal. So when they are normal, the current criteria of fasting glucose and A1C will not be able to find it, because the glucose levels and the A1C levels will come as normal on the blood report. So that is one pitfall for those methods. And that pitfall arises mainly because these measurements are focusing just on the glucose part and not on the protein shifts that accompany along with what happens in the early stage.
Okay. What do you hope that the audience will take away from your presentation? What is the one really big strong point that you want to drive home and succinctly have the audience take with them when they leave, the impression that you want to leave them with?
So, I think I would want to let the audience understand the whole that whole new approach of using that we can even use NMR even in clinical settings. It's a low benchtop NMR, so this can be used. This is a very new technique. And this is very, very capable with the data that we have in identifying early abnormalities. And this would also make the audience aware that there are conditions existing before prediabetes. So even if the blood reports are normal, like an exhaustive blood report panel might tell you the same, what our one biomarker would. But it would be, of course, it will be more inexpensive, it will be more reliable. So yeah, this is a very accurate marker. It has like very great sensitivity of 100%, and it has a very high specificity of 87%, which is not as good as 100%, but with 100% sensitivity, 87% specificity is a really good combination. So I would just want the audience to understand the whole principle involved in it, like how this new technique, how can they familiarize themselves with the new technique? Because a lot of times people think that biomarkers would be something like measuring some analytes, like chemically or biologically, but this is like biophysically. So we are involving a very new approach.
All right. Well, look down the road a little bit into the future, maybe 5 years or so. What do you see? 5 or 10 years or 3 years? Or do you have a kind of a marker and how things are going? Give us a look into the future. What do you see?
So I actually see a good road ahead, and we are already on way to do this in a larger cohort of 800 people from the biobanks, and we're also creating our own cohort. So with those 800 people in our own cohort, we'll have like various lifestyle interventions. So we are using the work that's already done in a way that we will not be creating those 800 people, like storing samples for them. So since there's already biobank out there, we are making use of it. And those biobanks from the NIH and other big blood banks, they have done all the lifestyle intervention studies and different metabolic intervention studies. So we can use those samples and determine the water relaxation time, which is our biomarker, using NMR relaxometry. And that will give us a very good retrospective prospective analysis. And so with that, I see that down the line, but 5 to 7 years from now, I think we will be involved in a lot of clinical work, like in the clinics, or like we are already talking to other companies, and especially the one we worked with, who would take this approach and establish it further as a test.
Well, Ina, exciting things you're doing then with the prognosis for pre-diabetes and treating the entire disease. I want to ask you something too. I know that you've probably been mentored a lot by people that have brought you along there at the College of Pharmacy and at the University of North Texas Health Science Center and other places, as you studied at the other universities and both abroad and in the United States, and you've been mentored and given some words of wisdom, words to live by. Can you give us what sort of advice would you give a protege or a younger person?
So I have been mainly involved in the research work, and I think I've learned a lot over the years. I mean, work-wise, personally, it's a very good learning process. And coming into the United States and gaining my education here was really a very helpful process too. So I think what I think really matters in research is the integrity and respect towards others, but be faithful to your work, to what you're doing for others, and because in the end, all that we are doing is going to benefit the humans and the humankind. So, I think for any young person who would enter research, should understand and respect integrity.
All right, integrity. Well, Dr. Ina Mishra, such a joy speaking with you. We're so glad to hear about the research and the work that you're doing with the type 2 diabetes, since it is a worldwide epidemic, and you're able to work to bring about treatments and cures. And we're looking forward to seeing you at the Metricon conference. It'll be at the Hearst Convention Center on the 7th of November. So, and thank you for being a guest on our program.
Thank you so much for calling. It's a pleasure talking to you.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Okay, this time I want to introduce you to Dr. Yoko Pong. He's professor and founding chair of the Pharmaceutical Sciences College of Pharmacy at the North Texas Eye Research Institute, actually the University of North Texas Health Science Center, associated with the North Texas Eye Research Institute in Fort Worth. And we're so pleased to have you on the program, Dr. Pong.
Thank you.
You're going to be making a presentation at the Metricon conference, and that's something we're very interested in knowing more about, because we always look forward every year to the Metricon conference that is sponsored by Lockheed Martin and Encore Electric Delivery, and produced by IEEE, the Engineers Association, Electrical Engineers Association. And it's going to be on the 7th of November at the Hearst Convention Center. So we're real glad to have you as a guest on the program. And I understand that you are working in some pretty fascinating things that concern blood vessel cells that are damaged in diabetics, and the disease of the retina, and blindness and numbness and tingling in the extremities, and burning pain, loss of kidney function. And you're able to kind of penetrate down and find some solutions to these things. And starting with something that you call ligonomics, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes, absolutely. And that is something we are very happy that to report that we actually find a molecule that it may be useful for diabetic patients.
Okay. And you were telling me that omics means the study of an entire set of molecules, like genomics and organisms and proteinomics, study of the entire set of proteins. And maybe you could give us an indication what ligonomics is. What is all that about?
Yes, thank you. So many of us have heard about the terms of like genomics or proteomics, and these are methods that people have been using to study entire sets of molecules in the body. So, for example, genomics means that they are studying all the genes in the body, and proteomics are studies for genes or for proteins that are in the body, and their expression level, their functions, whether they have abnormalities, etc. So the techniques that we use, my collaborator and I are using, is called ligonomics. And ligand means the molecules that interact with binding sites or receptors or other proteins on the surface or inside of a cell. And these molecules that interacting on the proteins on the cell, they are called ligands. So together, ligandomics means that we are studying that what are these molecules are and how they interact with the proteins or receptors or binding sites on the cell, and then also what are the functions of these ligands. And then, most importantly, we want to find out whether there are differences between normal cells or cells that are sick or the cells that are involved in a particular disease. And then the idea is that if we understand the differences between a normal cell and a diseased cell, then there's a possibility to develop treatments that would be specific for the illness.
So you would be able to identify new and unique drug targets and help in the discovery and development of new drugs to combat the ills of diabetes? Is that the point?
Absolutely. And diabetes is only the first disease we approach. And in theory, this ligandomics approach can be used in all kinds of diseases.
Oh, yeah? Well, okay. Give us some examples. What are we talking about?
So at this point, we are focused on diabetes. We want to compare the ligand interactions with proteins on the cells of the so-called vascular endothelial cells, and these are the cells that are lining the inside of blood vessels. And then because in diabetic patients, there are vascular pathologies that symptoms that related to the blood vessel, and then we want to see whether there are differences. But in theory, if any other diseases, let's say a cancer cell, maybe the interactions on proteins on the cancer cells are different from a normal normal cell, and therefore the same ligandomics approach can also identify novel therapeutic targets to treat something like cancer.
Okay, are you enlisting the help of our body's own antibodies to work in conjunction with this these methods?
Great question. Yes, at this point we are using antibodies to interrupt the abnormal interaction between the ligands and their receptors or proteins on the cell. But in theory, in the future, if let's say we can use genetic gene therapy, genetic treatments, to change the protein or to change the receptor on the cell, and therefore to normalize the disease process, and that would be another way to treat. So we can use drugs to interfere with this interaction. We can use antibodies to interfere with this interaction, as well as genetic methods.
Well, so many times we get these cures, or what we hope are cures, and actually we end up doing more damage to other cells in the body. Are you saying that this particular method will target only the diseased cells and will not affect normal healthy cells? Is that the where you're going with this?
Yes, that's exactly what we are thinking. Since we are comparing diseased and healthy tissues, and it's specifically on the tissue itself, it's not on the molecule that is interacting on the tissue. We are looking at the tissue itself. So, in theory, our approach may produce treatments that are a lot more specific. And the hope is that by doing that, we can decrease the probability of having adverse effects, side effects, toxicities.
Okay, Dr. Pong, I'm not sure that we've covered everything. What have we missed? And what is it that you would like to have the main message be to your audience at MetroCon, and have it be the takeaway? What do you want people to be most impressed with and to go away with remembering?
So I want people to know that this is a totally new way of thinking of new drug development. Currently, we are thinking about genomics, proteomics, and this is a new expansion to look at a flip side of the interacting molecules. Instead of the gene or the protein, we are looking at the receptor on the cells that are affected. And so, in theory, we would be able to open up another area of new drug targets for the future development of useful drugs.
A totally new approach to solving the problems of diabetes and other ailments through this particular method.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's excellent. Well, give us a look in the future. I mean, put your future cap on there and kind of twist it a little bit and look down the road 5 years or 10 years or whatever you happen to see. How is the progress going to make, and what do you see coming?
So we are currently based on our findings. So currently in the diabetic area, by using this ligandomics approach, we found a new molecule, and it is called secretogranin 3. Mm-hmm. And currently, this molecule, we have demonstrated if we use antibody to bind up and block this molecule, then we can eliminate a lot of the vascular pathology that we see in diabetic retinopathy. So we are developing antibodies to be used as a medication to treat these patients. And my collaborator and I are having grants and also form a small company that would focus on developing this approach. And down the road, using this same nicotomics approach, we can envision that not just antibodies, but we can have other types of molecules, maybe small molecule drugs that can interfere with these types of interactions, and therefore you can have other types of therapies too.
All right, Dr. Pong, fascinating stuff. We're going to really look forward to hearing your presentation at the Metricon conference on November 7th at the Hearst Convention Center with Metricon. And I'm quite sure, I know that you were born in Macau, China, and one time was a citizen of Portugal and that sort of thing. So I'm sure your career and coming along as you do, that you've been mentored by some very esteemed people that you really admire, and you're mentoring people right now, younger people that are coming along. Give us some word of wisdom, words to live by, some sort of a creed that you really practice and admire.
Well, thank you. This is a great question. So I always want to think outside the box. And I know that a lot of young people are very, very good in working very hard. And also these days, people like to think outside the box. So the most important thing in my mind is work hard and then think outside.
That's wonderful. You've been a wonderful guest, and we certainly appreciate your being here. We're looking forward to seeing you at the Metricon conference. That would be November 7th at the Hearst Convention Center, where Dr. Yoko Pong will be making his presentation. He's professor and founding chair of Pharmaceutical Sciences College of Pharmacy at the University of North Texas Health Science Center and associated with the North Texas Eye Research Institute. Fascinating stuff, Dr. Pong. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mr. Mason, for having me on your program.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast at promiseoftomorrow.biz. And at this time, I want to thank you very much for those of you who have contributed to this program. We depend on contributions from listeners like you for the existence of this show. We're totally science community supported. So those of you who have contributed, thank you very much. Those of you who wish to can do so at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a little tab there for donations. Just click the donations, and we appreciate all your help.
And now, we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
Oh, I think that I'm optimistic. I think the United States will find its way out of its own dilemma, will find the best route to help humanity. And I think that I certainly hope that when the United States do something, please do it for humanity and not just for United States.
Breakfast at a busy restaurant with a very fascinating Dr. Daxuan Feng from Macau University.
So you decide, has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
I am waiting for you.